But you and I need to constantly be people of prayer. And I think the lesson I'm going to give you tonight will be a lesson that will prove how important prayer is and actually what God used to teach about prayer. So Numbers chapter 15, I want you to go to verse 37. You got some way to mark this. I think this will be a good story to remember. Numbers chapter 15, start with verse 37. Everybody kind of there? I was taught in Bible college that Scripture will always answer Scripture. So if you're looking and you can't figure out something, you keep reading, you'll find the answer. One of the things that I've been searching and seeking was the prayer closet. How many's ever heard that you need a prayer closet? To go into your prayer closet, Jesus talked about the prayer closet. Actually, through that study is how I kind of stumbled across some of this stuff. Which is really cool. Because only thing I think a closet is a little closet, right? It's got a door on it, it's got some hangers in it. That's a closet. But that's because I live in 2015. If you'd have lived 4,000 years ago, what would a closet have been? If you were traveling in the middle of the wilderness when He spoke about what we're about to speak about tonight, and you lived in a tent, where would your closet have been? So we're going to read this, and then I'm going to actually show you something. Rochelle and I made a prop tonight together. We've teamed up and we built a prayer closet. Y'all pretty anxious to see that? All right, verse 37. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in their borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a whoring." Do you know the Bible used that word? When God uses that word in the Bible, 99% of the time He's talking about you going after other things other than God. Amen. Don't always mean going after women, okay? So then He said this, "That ye may remember and do all My commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." So, quick question. Why did God bring them out of Egypt? Thank you, Steve. That's exactly what He said, right? Now, we think about promised land, we think about all that. But all that was benefits. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, why? To be your God. That's what I want you to be. I want to be your God and I want you to be My people. I want that relationship with you. That's why I brought you out of here, so we could have that relationship, alright? So, anybody know why they had to make the fringe on their garments and why all this happened? This is a cool story. This is one of the stories that people talk to us about as preachers that we like to really not talk about because it's a tough one to answer. I entitled this message tonight, "Sticks and Stones." So if you ever want to find out an answer to why they do something, all you got to do is read in front of it. So I want you to back up to verse 32. And we're going to read exactly what happened. This is coming straight from the Bible. And you're going to say, "I never didn't know that story was in there. This is an awesome story." And it's one of those that's hard to swallow. So let's read it. Verse 32. "And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they found him gathering sticks and brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto the congregation. And they put him in a ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, 'The man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp.' And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as the Lord commanded Moses." have an invitation and go home. It's a good story, isn't it? Anybody want to know why they stoned him for picking up sticks? Working on Saturday. Woo! Isn't that a little overkill? Pick some sticks up and be killed? I mean, what if it's cold and you need to make a fire? What if he needs to cook something? He didn't have a gas stove, did he, Steve? He's going to have to get some wood for his wife to cook. So he's just out there gathering up sticks. And they saw him gathering up sticks. And they said, we don't know what to do with him. And they took him to Moses and Aaron. They said, we don't know what to do with him either. So they just kind of stuck him over in a holding pen. And God said, I'm going to tell you what y'all need to do with him. You need to take him outside the camp, everybody. We want to get everybody involved in this. And I want everybody to get a stone. And we're going to stone the guy. And that's what they did. They stoned him to death. Now just by a show of hands, how many think that was a little extreme? But we all know, standing in this building and sitting in here tonight, that God wouldn't do anything that would be a sin or wrong, right? So what was God's motivation? I think we can understand this. So sometimes we've got to even back up more. So let me back up a little bit more, all the way to the Garden of Eden. Let me just do a quick without reading, okay? In the Garden of Eden, God said, you can have everything you want here. You can eat anything you want here. But you can't eat from that tree right there. Right? It was the first thing they did. They ate from that tree. So, God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. And He put a flaming sword to guard the Garden of Eden. No man was able to go back there again. And man continued to live in a sinful state. And God said, you know what? Wicked, just wicked, wicked, wicked all over the place. I'm going to destroy the world. And God looked down and He seen a man and his family still serving God. And so God said, I want you, Noah, to go build an ark. And I want you to warn people for 100 years. I want you to gather animals in. And what? It's going to rain. So Moses, or Noah did that. He did that for 100 years. And finally God said, Noah, get into the ark. God closed the door. It began to rain, right? They get off the ark. Almost a year later, and the first thing that happened when they got off the ark, they sinned. Right? They got drunk. First day off the ark, got drunk. Right? So God said, destroying the world ain't going to work. It ain't going to take away sin from the people. So here's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to take one man by the name of Abraham. And I'm going to make a nation out of this guy. I'm going to make a nation out of this guy. From every one of his kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, I'm going to make a nation, and they're going to be an example to the world. And after about 400 years of captivity, God brought them out. They end up on the bottom of Mount Sinai, and Moses and Joshua goes up, and they get what? The Ten Commandments. They come down. And God says, I've got some laws for y'all to live by. I've got 10 laws for y'all to live by. Here's the laws I want you to live by. I want you to do these things. And if you do these things, you're going to live a happier life. And people's going to know that you're different. So, what we read tonight is before there's punishment sentence. Okay? So when people broke the commandments, they didn't know what to do. So they just kind of held on to them. And God would tell them what to do. By the way, every commandment that was written, the punishment for every commandment was what? It was death and stoning. So, it was pretty much to understand that from this one, we're all going to be this way. So here's a guy out picking up sticks. It's on the Sabbath day. And he doesn't obey God. He doesn't eat. He picks up the sticks, gathers them up. And what should he have done? Should have prepared. How would you prepare? Pick them up the day before, right? On Friday. Pick some sticks up the day before. I mean, it'd be crazy for me to wait till the weather got 20 degrees and say, you know what? I think I ought to go cut a load of wood. load of wood. Most people cut it all summer and pile it up, and if you're a dedicated wood burner, you rotate your stack. This wood I'm burning this year is 4 years old. Why? Why don't you burn green wood? Tell us, Brother Gobby. You're the forestry expert in here. Why don't I just go cut green wood and burn it?
Done that on a Saturday.
It's got crystal in it, doesn't it? And it clogs your chimney up. Y'all ever seen a chimney fire? You ever seen a chimney fire, Dad?
Yeah.
We had a wood roof. I wish I brought Dad into it, but we had a wood roof. And it's like my junior year of high school. We get out and cut wood, me and buddies, when they had snow days. And I didn't like to split wood, so I looked for trees about that big around. We cut fence rows out. Anywhere we could find a tree about that big around, Kenny, I'm chopping it, stacking it, getting it out of there, right? Well, we got to burn a lot of green wood at our house, because I was the supplier of the wood. And Dad put some dry wood in there one day and got a good hot fire going. And somebody stopped by the house and said, "Your house is on fire." And we went outside and looked, and it looked like a volcano erupted when that crystal had caught on fire. And it was shooting out of our chimney. Now the funny thing was we had wood shingled roof. So I think Dad was out with the water hose trying to keep fire down. But that's why you don't burn green wood. So you would, if you're a good wood burner, you're prepared a couple years ahead of time burning that wood. The Bible taught the people on the Sabbath is coming. It's going to come every week, isn't it? Every week's going to have a Saturday. And you get ready for that Saturday before Saturday gets here. And on Saturday you don't do anything, because that's going to be a day that you and God are going to commune together. I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of miss the way it used to be. I know we live under grace, and nobody needs to call me or text me later and give me new scripture. I know we live under grace and not the law. But I kind of like the old days when Sunday everything was closed and nobody worked. And you went to church together as a family. You went home and ate as a family. And you went to granny's and ate as a family. I mean, I honestly miss those days. Because Sunday's just another day. People work on Sunday. People shop on Sunday. People do everything on Sunday. But what God was trying to do was give man a time to rest, because man needs to rest. Y'all can nod. But also, man needs God time. So here's what God does. Now you can go back to the lesson, verse 37 through 41. I want to reread it again. So after they stone this guy to death. Now, let me give you a commercial. When they stoned this guy to death, and they just picked the leaders, Moses and Aaron and Joshua, they just kicked them to go out there and stone them. Who all participated in the stoning? Everybody. I think this is a good lesson. When you and I sin, we affect everybody. See, Israel was a nation. It was God's people. A church is a picture of what Israel was. So what was good for Israel is good for the church today. That's confusing. I'm trying not to be confusing, but you're confusing me. I'll try differently. Had a little conversation. When Israel would sin, it affected everybody. When you sin as a member of a local church, it affects every member of the local church. Because God says that a church is a body. So if you drop yesterday Rochelle was doing something, I think she's unpacking all the bags, and a brush fell out of her bag. A hairbrush, okay? A little hairbrush fell out of her suitcase and hit her in the toe. Well, you thought she'd been shot. Oh! It was crazy. And I said, "What happened? I dropped a brush on my toe." You think it affected her? Oh, you should have been there. I should have videoed it. It affected her in a major way. So does sin. But I think what's really good, the really good picture that God was making, Greg, When you're sitting there holding the rock, and you got to throw it at Mike, you think you're all pumped up, excited about this? What are you thinking? He just picked some sticks up. I mean, like he killed somebody. He just picked a stick up. It's a couple of sticks. And all of a sudden, you start feeling bad because of his sin. God was teaching a great lesson. But now he's going to teach us about prayer, Dean. And he said, what I want you all to do, because everybody had a cloak. Y'all reading the Bible, they all had a cloak. And sometimes they had to gird their cloak. That was just a belt. So Rochelle and I made a cloak. This is made from cotton that we purchased from Walmart. Still got the Walmart tag on it. So the first thing they were to do, first of all, a cloak would have been something like this, okay? These cloaks were used for when it was cold, it would be a blanket. They could roll it up. They could use it as a pillow. But this was extra covering. So when somebody asks for your cloak, you know, in the New Testament, you're to give them that outer covering. We always think it's a coat, but actually they didn't have coats like we got. They more was a blanket, okay? Now, this cloak, what they would do, what God told them to do is, I want you to make fringe on it. Now, stay awake with me because I'm going to get you a New Testament scripture that's going to just say, wow, I didn't see that coming, okay? It's going to give you a wow moment. We're going to go home. So he told them to make fringe. And he told them to make one piece of fringe what? So I did some research on the blue fringe. So you just go to Walmart and you get some blue string like I did to make your blue fringe. You know what they had to do to make blue fringe? They had to take and milk out of the gland of a snail. Peggy's like, nah. It's true, Peggy. They had to. It takes like 1,000 snails to get enough to cover one piece of material. One string of material. I'll give you a good number. 10 pounds of this blue dye was worth $35,000. 200 years before Christ. During the time of Christ, it was worth $95,000 for 10 pounds of the blue dye to make the string. So when you read, I'm just going to test your knowledge of readings and see if you picked this up. Who all was supposed to put fringe on the cloak? Anybody want to guess that one?
Everybody.
Every generation. So that meant Roxy's got it on hers, and Julie and Brian's got it on theirs, and Calvin T's got it on theirs, and Dub and I's got it on theirs, right? Now, so they got the cloak. They made the fringe. You see the fringe down it. They've got the blue string on it. The blue string was a reminder of them of God. So if you read it there, you'll see. It was a reminder them of God. And I always think the blue, when you do the wordless book, the blue, a lot of people make it for the water, but I think it's always a signet of heaven or blue skies, you know. But they would tie 5 knots in that string. Anybody know why 5 knots? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first 5 books of the Bible, the Torah is all they had, and that's what they would live by. So now they're about to make a prayer closet, okay? So what they could do is, you ever seen the Wailing Wall and it's like that? You cross your arms, you get this over yourself enough, you cross your arms, and what? You got a prayer closet. When you was out like this, it's considered wings. Now that's going to make sense in just a second. So this, when did this start? I'm just trying to get you to learn this Bible lesson tonight. When did the cloak, the prayer, when did all this start? In the wilderness. But what happened to cause this to happen? All right. So God's going to teach them prayer. He's going to teach them the importance of prayer. He's going to teach them about His commandments. And every time you look down and you saw those blue strings, what are you going to think? What's the Word say? What's the Word say? What's the Word say? Whose Word? Every time you look at your cloak and you got fringe on, who are you thinking about? It's the Lord. Why did the man pick up sticks on the Sabbath? He wasn't thinking about the law. He was thinking about what? Thinking about himself. Now listen, I think we're all guilty of this. I think we all want to serve God. We all want to do right. But how often do we do what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do? What makes more sense for me to do, Steve, than what God wants me to do? Do we ever do that? Sure we do. So, you got a picture now. Next time you're watching the Wailing Wall, you're seeing a no picture. You're seeing them in the... You're fixing to get to watch the AD about Jesus dying on the cross, all that, the Bible stories. You look for the prayer shawl. They call it a what? You might know the real name. The tillet. Tillet. So you'll see this thing. Some of them are not as long. Some of them are long. But they'll all have the fringe. And you look for the strings. Okay? That's what you look for. So the modern day one's got like blue satin through them. That wouldn't have been a scripture one. Because they didn't believe in mixing anything, Jessica. So it had to be 100% satin or 100% cotton. Now remember how expensive the blue dye was. Now there's a story in the New Testament about a woman in Paul's day who was, if I remember her name, she was by the water's edge. Lydia. And what was she doing? And the purple is the same color blue, by the way. So I'd share that with you. Go to Malachi with me. I'm about to get you to the end of this. Now that you've all seen the picture, I can teach you the lesson now. Malachi chapter number 4. Malachi chapter number 4. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Go to Matthew and go backwards. First book. Malachi 4. Kind of like the last word from God before 400 years of silence. Alright? He says in verse 1, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. But it shall leave them neither root nor branch." So what's he talking about? What's Malachi talking about, Brian? How about a time when something's going to burn up? What's going to burn up? Huh? What's going to burn up? What a reward. That's kind of a lesson. But there's another big fire coming too, right? Where's the fire coming at? Isn't one day this earth going to melt with fervent heat? This refers to the day, Lord. This is talking about the judgment day. When God judges the world. And God judges the lost people. He's going to bring them up out of hell. Everybody thinks hell's the end of it. Hell's not the end of it. They're going to be brought up out of hell in Revelation chapter 20. And they're going to be judged, right? The lost people are going to be judged. Remember, he's talking about those who are lost. Read it what he says. He said the proud and the wicked shall be stubble. Alright? That day's coming. So he's going to tell us in the Old Testament, Brian, how to be ready for this day and what, how to be... Listen, how many of you want to escape that burning fire? It's a no-brainer. So here's what he's going to do. He's going to tell you how to escape that. By the way, how many of you believe the world's going to melt one day? I mean, he destroyed it with water. He said he'd never do that again, but he never said he wouldn't destroy it again, right? He's going to destroy it. He's going to recreate it. When it's all recreated, he's going to bring us here, text, and we're going to live in this new world. That's pretty exciting. Verse 2. Now he's going to tell you how to not get caught up in that. "But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise." Who is the Son of Righteousness? Jesus. He's the S-O-N, that's the S-U-N of righteousness, right? Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. He said the Son of Righteousness arrived with healing in His what? What? Okay. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I should do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So what God says is, the safest place for you to be, and the place where you can go to, that you can escape this fiery burning, is where? Under the wings of the Son of Righteousness. Listen, whether you lived in the Old Testament or you live in the New Testament, Jesus has always been the way out. Before He was ever born, He was the way out. They said He was coming. They put their faith and trust in that He would come. You and I put our faith and trust what? That He did come. Either way, it's what? It's faith. It's faith. It's faith in something or someone. Because this is a big deal. Is your faith in something or someone? My faith is in someone. My faith is in Jesus. My faith ain't in the Baptist church. My faith ain't in the water tank. My faith ain't even in the Bible. My faith is in Jesus. Now what makes my faith stronger is the Word of God. Now I'm going to give you a New Testament example. So where is safety at according to Malachi 4? Under what? And what did we say with the prayer shawl? When it was out there, it was what? Alright. Y'all are good students. Luke 8. And here's where it's done. Okay? There's other places you could read, but so, was Jesus a Jew? Not a trick question. Was Jesus a Jew? Joe says yes. Y'all agree with Joe? Did Jesus practice the Jewish customs? All the way to a T He practiced them. When He was a certain age, He was circumcised. When He was 12 years old, His parents took Him to the temple. Jesus was a normal Jewish boy. Would Jesus have had a cloak? Would it have had the blue strings on it? It would have. It would have. Now let's read the story. Luke 8, 43. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, Luke 8, 43, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind Him and touched the border of His garment. Right? What's the garment? His cloak, right? And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" He said, in other words, you were in a great big crowd at Rupp Arena and somebody touched you. Dust. Somebody, like thousands of people have touched you. Peter's like, how do we want to know what one person touched you? And Jesus said this, and I think this is really important. Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that the virtue has gone out of me. In other words, the healing went out of me. When the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling, falling down before Him. She declared unto Him before all the people for what cause she had touched Him and how she was healed immediately. You know what she just did, Jessica? She just went public. Everybody comes to church and you set to an invitation and God's moving you, Bo Eric. You need to go and you need to tell this testimony. You need to follow Him in baptism. You need to say, I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's going public. That's one of the first signs of real faith. One of the first signs of real faith is going public. If you'll step out and say, you know what, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, I want to be baptized. That is going public. That's letting everybody else know. You're not going to get saved in that water, but you're giving a testimony that I have put my faith and trust in Jesus. Isn't that cool? So this woman goes public and she said, you know what? It was me that touched you. It was me that touched you for a certain kind of healing. She said, I was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith what? What made her whole? Touching the garment made her whole? What made her whole? Her faith. Her faith in what? Her faith in the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you what I think. I think she knew about Malachi chapter 4. And the Bible said that you'll find healing from the Son of Righteousness in His wings. Touch the garment. What'd she do? She touched the garment, didn't she? Over and over in the Bible you'll read where people touch the hem of His garment. What was on the hem of His garment? The fringe. And that's exactly what Malachi talked about. So if you touch my fringe, is there healing there? No. Because where was the healing at? It wasn't in the fringe, was it, Brother Godfrey? The healing was what? In the wings of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a cool story? And it all started with man picking up sticks. So sticks and stones. May break your bones. But prayer will never hurt you. So from that day in Numbers chapter 15 till Jesus' day, that prayer shawl was a really important thing. Because they could close that thing up. They could get a hold of those two little strings. They could remind themselves of what God told them to do. And they could talk to God. And they had it with them, Greg, every single day. I know we talk about they went on the Sabbath to the tabernacle. And they went to the Sabbath on the temple. But they wore that cloak every day, which was a reminder that God's with me every day. And I can talk to God every day. And these strings remind me of what I should do and shouldn't do. You know why you need to pray every day? So you won't do the things you shouldn't do. That's why you should pray every day. What do we need to hold in our hand to keep us in line with God? Not blue strings on a prayer shawl. We need the Word of God in our hands. Because that's what that was. See, they couldn't go in Lifeway and buy a Bible. They couldn't take out the phone like I do every day because I've got a Bible app on mine, click on it, read my proverb. They couldn't do that. They had to memorize what they could memorize, but they knew what God had said. Trust me, if God gave them 10, they knew all 10. And now they know what the punishment for all 10 was because the man just got stoned. And I didn't like participating in that. And you know what? So I'm going to guard against that because I don't want that to happen again. And I tell you what else might help, Brother Greg. It might help you go talk to Brother Ray to keep him from doing it, because you don't want to have to stone him either. Everybody that participated in that stoning out in the street that day, I'm telling you what, they prayed that they never have to do that again. Amen. They prayed that they never have to do that again. You know what? You and I should not want to see anybody get stoned. And literally, every one of us should have been stoned.
Amen.
Anybody ever broke a commandment? Anybody ever lied in the building? Raise your hand if you've ever lied.
Amen.
You ever had a wrong thought about the other sex?
Amen.
Anybody ever been angry enough to hurt somebody? Do we need to go on? Anybody ever stole anything that wasn't yours? I'm talking about just pick a pencil up from someplace. We need to go on? Anybody ever said a bad word? We need to go on? We everybody good? We need to go farther. I think we all understand, right? Every one of us deserved to be stoned to death. But you know what I did, Greg? I went to the Son of Righteousness. I went to His wings. And isn't that a great picture, by the way? I know it's not Easter yet, but I just think about when they crucified Him. They didn't know what they were doing, but they were spreading His wings out. And He's saying, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll help you rest from your sins. You won't have to worry about being stoned anymore. Because I'm dying right now to cover your sins. So tonight, Have you prayed today? I'm not talking about before you ate, and I'm not talking about just now, the two times we prayed tonight. But I mean, have you talked to God? Have you read your Bible and talked to God? Because that's what the prayer closet was. And they were all big in the prayer closet, and Jesus said, listen, you know what? When you pray like the publican prays, you're not praying the right way. You need to pray like the sinner prays. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Every one of us, when we go to the Lord in prayer, it's by the grace of God we can go to Him in prayer, because every one of us is rotten to the core. You'll never be good enough to make the balance level. Because you know who's the other side of the balance? God. Jesus. So whenever you feel like you're living just as good as Jesus lived, then you could balance the scale. Who else thinks they could do that? You know, mine's always like, I don't think I've ever even tipped the scale. I think me and Rochelle both could get in on it, and it's still tipped. What does it take? It takes Jesus. So what balances the scale? When I accept Christ, He goes back to the other side and He balances the scale, man. That's the only thing that can balance your scale tonight is Jesus. You need to go under His wing tonight and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Help me, Lord, to not do the wrong things. Help me do the right things. Read your Bible. Talk to God. Maybe you've accepted Him as your Savior tonight, but you've never went public. You've never stood and said, you know what? I've accepted Jesus. I know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. And I'm going to be a part of His church. That's what you need to do. And you need to follow Him in baptism and make it public. Go to the water. We'll do it this Sunday if you want to. Weather's getting good. We'll go Sunday. We'll baptize you Sunday. But you need to make it public. Everybody knows. Just like that woman did who touched His garment. How many people you think touched the garment, Kiona? Think more than her. Think of just a rough number of 150. You think that'd be fair? I think more than that. Why was her so special? Because she wasn't just bumping. She was going with faith. I believe you're Him. And Jesus knew that. If He can pick her out of a crowd, He can pick you out of this crowd tonight. He knows right where you're sitting, and He knows if you know that He's the one. He just wants you to reach out for Him tonight. Let's stand and pray. Brian, would you come? Let's sing something. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You tonight for Your Word. Thank You for the opportunity that we've had to open and share it. Lord, sometimes we just see a simple Scripture, but it's bigger than that. And Lord, this Scripture tonight was hard. The man just picking up some sticks was stoned to death. But Lord, we know You were teaching a lesson here, that You are serious about Your Word. And You're serious about Your law. And Lord, I realize tonight that I deserved exactly what he got. But because of Your grace, and sending Your Son, Your love, that He died in my place. Thank You tonight, Lord, for that. And now going down the road or wherever I'm at, I can go to my prayer closet. I don't need a cloak. I don't need a shawl. I don't need to grab the blue strings. But I can just talk to You. Because You made access to You simple tonight. So Lord, help our prayer lives. I pray for those of this service who've never went public, who've never said, I've accepted the Lord as my Savior and I want to follow Him in the next step. Lord, I pray for those tonight who need to do that. Give them the courage to step out tonight and come forward. Lord, whatever needs are here tonight, I pray that You'll help them. In Jesus' name, amen.